It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. The next household hazardous waste collection is set for Saturday. What is hazardous? As Michael Brown from the Ecology Action Center has told us before, it's anything that's toxic, corrosive, explosive, or reactive. Michael Brown is in the studio to answer your questions about the household hazardous waste collection on Saturday, and we'll play a round of Can It Be Recycled? To ask a question now or to play Can It Be Recycled, call 309-438-8910. Michael, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Thanks for having me.
The collection is an expensive enterprise. It takes place on Saturday. How much will it cost? Who's paying? And how much more in private donations do you need to raise?
So we've budgeted for this event $180,000. This is more than the last event that we did, you know, by the same public-private model. That one came to about $160,000, but we're, you know, anticipating, you know, increased participation by our local community as awareness continues to grow. So therefore, we increased our budget. We're very close to that goal in that we're about 90% of it at $162,000 raised. A strong portion of this is local government support. And so Bloomington, Normal, and McLean County all have been partners with us all along on these efforts. They helped, you know, in a very strong fashion in the 2012 locally funded event, here for this event, even more so. So $140,000 of our budget comes from our local government partners.
The event is 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. How will the event work for those arriving at Mitsubishi Motors manufacturing plant on Saturday? What should people expect?
So when they get out there on Mitsubishi Motorway out to the plant, there will be signage as they arrive, directing people to the north entrance of the parking lots. From there, they will funnel down to our collection area. Along the way, there'll just be a couple brief stops where we do give people the opportunity to make a donation to the HHW fund paying for the event, as well just getting some basic information, how many households' materials are they bringing with them, things like that, as well as some information on local programs for some of these types of materials where they can recycle these or safely dispose of some of these materials on a regular basis before they get down to actually the waste collection and processing area. And so there they'll have an opportunity to get rid of e-waste electronics with our partner Home Sweet Home Ministries, who will be collecting a broad range of e-waste at this event.
Better to bring it to this than dump your old TV on the side of the road, which I've been seeing a lot of. I see all of these TVs just scattered around. And Normal does an electronic recycling year-round, but apparently not enough. And this is one more opportunity to get rid of those troublesome old non-working electronics.
Exactly, which are banned from the landfill, and so they won't be picked up from your curbside. You do need to recycle those. So yes, you can get rid of your e-waste first as well. Town of Normal Police Department will be present to collect pharmaceuticals, medicines, including controlled substances.
Bullets?
Not bullets.
Okay.
That's not considered a hazardous waste that we can take here at this event. But yes, pharmaceuticals of basically any kind, they'll be taking. And then you get into the main hazardous waste processing area where you pull through in your car, essentially pop your trunk, and the chemist there will remove the materials, and you drive on out and you're done. It's pretty quick and painless. Wait times, of course, can vary, but we're strongly encouraging people, the more that you can essentially carpool with your neighbors and that you send your households, several households worth of materials in one vehicle, that's going to help expedite the process for everybody.
You've been doing a social media push for volunteers. How is that looking? Do you have enough volunteers for the day?
We're looking good. We can still use a few more. People can sign up at our website. You can shortcut to the hazardous waste section by going to hhwmclean.org. We can still use a few volunteers, especially for the takedown at the end of the day where we have to take down all these, you know, traffic barricades and flagging and whatnot. We could certainly use some help.
Same website if you're interested in donating for
exactly.
The household hazardous waste collection.
Exactly.
Collection. Michael Brown is the executive director of the Ecology Action Center. We'll play a round of Can It Be Recycled in just a moment. And you can ask a question now as well. The number's 309-438-8910. Do you think events like this provide consumers an out? They could continue to buy the big gulp-sized container of herbicide, use a fraction of it for weeds on their sidewalk, and then know they'll be able to get rid of it at a collection event.
Yes, and so there is kind of the two sides of this issue, in that we are enabling our own habits, you know, by providing safe, easy, legal, free collection of these items on a regular basis. We're enabling ourselves to continue to buy these things. But we do know bigger picture, and our bigger priority is to start to work on source reduction, and that is, you know, encouraging our community to simply generate less of these materials instead of the trend, which is the opposite, generating more and more. But we have, you know, more safer, cleaner options, more environmentally friendly options at the store, you know, all the time in terms of green products, or there's traditional safer alternatives as well. And so we just need to make the proper choice as consumers, because in reality, we're not paying the full life cycle cost in that purchase price at the store. We're paying for it here later.
Well, let's talk about that. What about a fee built into the price of hazardous materials that consumers pay up front to help pay for disposal costs later? Are we headed in that direction?
We are. There's definitely a movement in that direction on, you know, the state and national scale towards more, you know, product stewardship programs where, yeah, manufacturers are involved, retailers, and everybody, so that we are, you know, more looking at the full life cycle costs and trying to plan for those from the get-go. One good example is the e-waste program, the electronics recycling program in place now in the state of Illinois. They've been banned from Illinois landfills for a few years, and in partnership with that, you know, a system was built that essentially retailers and manufacturers would be responsible for ensuring that a certain quota assigned to them was recycled each year. And so in essence, the manufacturers and retailers are now paying to help recycle electronics. That cost ultimately does come down to us as consumers in the retail price, which is only fair, that we're paying the true life cycle cost of the product.
Can the Ecology Action Center really do anything to reduce consumption except ask people or promote the fact that people should buy less of this kind of stuff?
The more that we can promote the alternatives, show how, you know, even just demonstrating, you know, as we do repeatedly when we ask for money from the community, from our government partners, from the public, from businesses to support hazardous waste, as the more that we show that the alternative is little to no cost if we just all choose the right thing, I think this does require, you know, a major marketing campaign in order to start to push this other viewpoint, which is, yeah, contrary to maybe what, you know, some of the big manufacturers of some of these products are doing.
With the prevalence of all of these hazardous materials, are you surprised that our drinking water sources, our streams, our rivers aren't more polluted?
Well, the thing is that we might not be seeing the impacts yet. And so, you know, the risk of putting this stuff into the landfill means that eventually, at some point down the road, we're looking at leakage from the landfill, as the landfill was not designed to contain these things. We don't know when that's going to occur, how soon, how late. It could be 5 years, it could be in 5 decades, and we don't know how much is building up in that in the meanwhile. And so the actual ramifications of our current actions and from the past, you know, couple decades, you know, may yet be seen.
Michael Brown is the executive director of the Ecology Action Center, and it's time to play Can It Be Recycled? I'm your host, Mike McCurdy. As always, we're joined by the Ecology Action Center's Michael Brown. Michael, tell them what they'll win.
Fresh air, clean water, a healthy environment, and a healthy community.
And can you place a value on that? Absolutely not.
Absolutely
not.
It's
priceless. So let's get started. You'll answer questions about any potentially recyclable item, but since the Household Hazardous Waste Collection event is Saturday, we're going to make this an HHW edition of Can It Be Recycled. The number to play and the number to try to stump Michael Brown is 309-438-8910. Let's talk tires first. I have bike tires hanging in my garage that I have to do something with. What do you do with old tires?
So bicycle tires versus automobile tires versus tractor tires, these are, you know, they're similar in function and purpose, but they are slightly different in terms of how they're handled. So bicycle tires are actually technically, you know, legal to put in the trash. They are, you know, somewhat different composition.
But I don't feel good about it.
I'm with you. And there has been talk, you know, in the past with some of the local bike shops about developing a program. Currently, I don't believe we have one. If I'm wrong, then I would hope someone would correct me and we will spread the word on that. But that is something to look for in the future for our community. But automobile tires, on the other hand, these are illegal to put in the trash. They do require recycling, proper disposal. Obviously, it's illegal to burn them, which is very problematic, or has been in the past. And even just storing them on one's property. You know, you see, you know, some rural properties sometimes with piles of them stacked up or thrown in the ditch. They do capture rainwater, and then we have problems
mosquitoes,
West Nile virus, and such. And so proper disposal of tires is important. You can actually, just about any day of the week, you can recycle them at a local tire retailer for a small fee, or actually, coincidentally, this weekend, same time as our hazardous waste collection, Bridgestone is doing a free collection for local residents. You must be within the pantograph distribution area. They say up to 4 tires for free per person.
And car tires, not bike tires.
Correct.
All right. Let's go to the phones. 309-438-8910 is the number to call if you'd like to join or play Can It Be Recycled? Ruth is on the air from Bloomington, has a question about aerosol cans. Ruth, you're on the air with Michael Brown from the Ecology Action Center.
I have one unopened can, aerosol can, and one that was opened but is partially used, but it's all dried up. Great stuff, insulating foam sealant for windows and doors. Is that something you can take on Saturday?
Yes, but let me address those differently. You have one full can unopened. You have one can that's half full, half empty.
Right.
Let me say half full.
I'm pretty sure it's all dried up. Nothing's going to come out of it
sure.
anymore.
So these are our aerosol products. So, yes, this would be hazardous waste. That half full one we will take at the event, and we don't want that going in the trash. The completely full one, though, that sounds like that's perfectly usable. And so I don't want it at the event. We would take it, technically, but I don't want it there. I would rather see that go to someone else who could use it. I've used that in my home for insulating. It's good stuff. It's worth, you know, one can is, what, $6, $7? And so if you go to our website, ecologyactioncenter.org, on the left-hand side of the page, there's a link to McLean County FreeCycle. You go there. This is a free service to post things that you have to give away for free. Someone will respond, and you just make arrangements for them to pick it up.
Well, all right. Thank you very much.
Ruth,
thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Ruth. Jan is on the line from Normal, Illinois. I'm not sure what Jan actually wants to ask. Something about lava?
No, it's a lava lamp.
Oh, a lava lamp.
It's broken. Well, I think the light works, but the lava part doesn't work. I don't know if I could upcycle it to clean out the lamp, or can I just take the electronic part?
So let me just, I have some experience with lava lamps. All right, I've had a couple of vintage lava lamps. If the wattage of the bulb isn't large enough to heat up the wax or whatever substance is inside the lava lamp, then it won't sort of start moving. So that may be the issue. If the electronics work, then is there still liquid in the lava lamp?
Yes.
Hmm.
So you think a bigger watt?
Maybe, but let's assume that it doesn't work and that you do want to get rid of it. Michael, what would you do with that?
So yeah, the electronics, the wiring, all that is recyclable. You know, any of our local e-waste collection points would be happy to take that. I mean, there's at least some copper wiring and whatnot in there. So yeah, you could bring it to this event, but I do want to encourage people, if you only have things that fall into the e-waste category, then don't come to the event, but rather look at our local listings for e-waste drop-offs on our website, whether it be the Town of Normal or Home Sweet Home Ministries, one of those places, because your wait time will be much shorter if that's all you have.
A lot of times those lava lamps are two pieces, so you have the electronic part, and then you have the glass vessel that sets on top.
Right. Ooh. And that's unfortunately unlikely to be recyclable, but as Jen was saying, you know, trying to upcycle, you know, parts of that, that's a great idea.
All right. Jan, thanks for your question. Ben is on the line from Bloomington. He has a question we've gotten before. It's a recurring issue. Ben, what's your question for Michael Brown from the Ecology Action Center?
It's the ever-dreaded VHS cassette cartridges.
So, yeah, there used to be a program, a mailback program that would take them. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist anymore. The good news is there's nothing particularly hazardous in them. The bad news is there's no recycling programs that we're aware of anywhere for those right now. Conversely, DVDs, CDs, those type of electronic media are recyclable at most of our e-waste drop-offs here in town. But VHS tapes, old audio cassettes, are not at this time, unfortunately.
So I don't need to feel quite as guilty about putting
Correct, because it's not hazardous. So it's just the residual guilt if you really wanted to recycle it but can't, that still might linger. But
Are these commercially available tapes, Ben, movies that
some
you...
Some of them are commercially available, but we found a scarce market for those, too.
Yeah, so okay. I mean, so somebody else may want to watch those.
Right.
So one of the FreeCycle events.
Exactly. FreeCycle is definitely a good option for anything that's, you know, usable by someone else and something legal to distribute. And so just there have been questions sometimes about, you know, copied VHS tapes and such, which, yeah, we just want to keep it all completely legal.
All right, Ben, thanks for your call.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, glass can be tricky because not all glass is manufactured the same. Tom from Bloomington is on the line about has a question about glass recycling. Tom, you're on the air with Michael Brown from the Ecology Action Center, and you're playing Can It Be Recycled?
Yes. I've spent 35 years in the glass container industry, and Bloomington Normal is in an ideal position with a glass plant in Streator, Illinois, and a glass plant in Lincoln, Illinois. Glass is infinitely recyclable. I mean, one glass container can be crushed, melted down, and made into another glass container. Transportation costs are minimal, and I just like to hear what Bloomington Normal is doing about capturing every glass container that is put in the recycling bin and getting it to a market where it is indeed a raw material.
I'm guessing.
And I'll take your comments on the phone.
Tom, thanks for calling. I would guess some of this deals with the value of the glass.
Exactly. And yeah, so it's my understanding, you know, we'll all. Commodities, recycled commodities, you know, their values fluctuate. You know, glass is one that tends to be fairly low, and so just finding enough markets for it. And so while a local, you know, facility to actually recycle it could help with that if that's being, you know, creating new products right here locally. But that is something, you know, that's a bigger question, you know, something that we'd need to involve the economic development, you know, offices and agencies here in the community to look at that and the need and as far as labor and such. And so this is something, feel free to give me a call at the Ecology Action Center if you want to continue this conversation, because, yeah, that's maybe a bigger, more in-depth conversation.
But plate glass is different than a beer bottle and different than mason jars. And Josh is on the air, has a question about old mason jars. Josh, you're on the air with Michael Brown from the Ecology Action Center.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Yeah, I actually have an old mason jar that has gasoline in it that is several years old.
Uh-huh. So it's not just a mason jar.
No, not just it. There's some bonus material.
Bonus in quotes, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that gasoline you can bring to the hazardous waste collection event. Since it's in a mason jar, which is not a traditional gasoline-carrying vessel.
Or safe or approved, right? I'm curious, Josh, how did the gasoline get into the mason jar?
Well, I bought a new gas can a couple of years ago, and I didn't realize there was still gasoline left over in the old one.
Sure.
And when I found that the old gas can was made out of plastic, and so I decided to recycle it. I didn't want to just toss the gasoline that was left over in a way, so I put it in a mason jar.
And Michael, thank you for not pouring that down a storm drain.
Yes, absolutely. But I would encourage you, please label that as gasoline so it's easier to identify. And so that would be among, you know, the automotive fluids that are collected at the event. But as well, if that's the only thing you have to bring, you can recycle a lot of automotive fluids at local service stations. A good example is Team Automotive in Normal, that they will accept old used or gasoline or oil gasoline mixtures. And so yeah, just go there if that's all you have to bring. If you have a wide variety of materials, then come see us on Saturday.
Great. Thank you so much. much.
Josh, thanks for playing Can It Be Recycled with Michael Brown. He's the executive director of the Ecology Action Center. There's a household hazardous waste collection site, so we're doing a household hazardous waste edition, but you'll answer a question about anything, because maybe people don't know that their VHS tapes aren't hazardous.
Exactly.
I mean, how would you actually know? You can play Can It Be Recycled by calling 309-438-8910. I was surprised to learn from you that oil-based paints are being phased out, and the only thing you can do with leftover oil-based paint or stain is to take them to a collection event.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, just more and more latex paints can do the job that oil-based paints did in the past in terms of, you know, greater durability, longevity, for outdoor use and all purposes. And so oil-based paints are no longer needed for most applications. And so if you go to the store right now and try and buy oil-based paint, there might be a little on the shelf, but it's going to be, you know, much fewer options than what you had in the past. It's been replaced by latex.
What's the issue with fire extinguishers? You don't take them at the household hazardous waste collection event on Saturday.
We don't, and there is a short list of other things we can't take. And part of that is literally it is expenses and keeping the budget reasonable for this. I mean, if we want to accept everything, all hazardous wastes, then we would have to budget much bigger, and we probably wouldn't have reached our goal, and so we wouldn't be holding the event. And so we do just have to keep the list of accepted items reasonable so that we can hold this on a regular basis.
Lead-acid batteries also seem like it would fit in the corrosive category. Why no lead-acid batteries?
Lead-acid batteries tend to be automotive-type batteries, which you can recycle at places that sell them. And often, actually, you will get a small amount of money in exchange.
309-438-8910 is the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. Clark from Bloomington has a question about some electronics. Clark, you're on the air with Michael Brown from the Ecology Action Center. You're playing Can It Be Recycled?
Yes, I was wondering about ballasts from fluorescent fixtures.
Yes, yes, we will accept those as well as the fluorescent bulbs as well. The only caveat is, you know, like everything else at this event, it needs to be residential generated waste and not coming from a business.
Clark, thanks for your call. Thanks for playing Can It Be Recycled. Michael Brown, thanks to you for playing another round of Can It Be Recycled, and thanks to everyone who played along.
This program was edited for broadcast. This is Johnny Olson speaking. I'm Mark Goodson, Bill Todman, production.
You like the production values here?
I do. This is great. thanks for having me. It's been a great show. I hope I won.
We all won, I think. The Household Hazardous Waste Collection event is 8 a.m. Saturday at Mitsubishi Motors Manufacturing Plant. Wraps up at 2 p.m., correct?
Yes, it is.
This is Sound Ideas on GLT.